Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
You want a commercial profitable enterprise that works independent of the owner. So at some point for you to build a true business, it needs to be profitable and it needs to work without you. I know I need this new role, but I can't possibly hire them. I haven't got any systems for them to follow. How will they know what to do? What if I don't even know what this person will do? And what if I spend money on wages and they're not even effective?
It means you have to give up control. That might be a bit of a reality check. Other people can do it. And you'll build more confidence than into the fact that other people are actually going to like build the systems and run the systems, and you just got to get the right people to come in and do that.
Tune into this episode where we unpack whether it's better to hire first or whether it's better to systemize a role before you hire. All right. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Phil Smith. I'm here with my co-host, Cam, the head of coaching here at Profitable Tradie. Welcome, Cam.
Thanks, man. Back, baby.
Hey, nice to tag team again, brother.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, awesome to have you here. What are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about, should I build systems first or should I hire first?
Ooh, juicy.
What a question.
One. Yeah, very, very juicy. This one comes up all the time, right?
Yeah, man. It's a nonstop question in coaching, and I think it's going to be pretty fun to unpack that today.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose it really comes back to a capacity issue, right? Like, you're stuck in a bottleneck where, you know, things are coming to you. You know you need someone new in your business. Maybe it's an estimator or ops manager. Maybe it's an office manager. Is it more guys on the tools, middle management? It could be anything. You know you need these new people. But unfortunately, you don't have any systems for them to follow. And so you just end up stuck. Like, what should I do? Should I create these systems or should I just get the person and see what happens? And you just end up in a little bit of a conundrum, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a question that's asked. Oh, I reckon this comes up probably every second day at the absolute least. And it's one of these things that just holds people in this like endless cycle. And if you don't make the decision and actually just make the leap, you can either be stuck or go backwards. So we've got to jump into this today, I reckon.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, this one actually reminds me of surfing a lot. So if you're listening, me and Cam, we surf, you know, at least once a week.
Barrels.
Yeah, barrels all day, obviously. and you know, conditions are always perfect. We go out no matter what. But one thing is, I remember actually when we were getting started and we hadn't surfed a ton, and you know, we would be watching videos on YouTube, you know, watching little, you know, tutorial clips like how to pop up better and, you know, how to get the right angle as you're coming down, all of that kind of stuff, how to paddle better so that you're not wasting a bunch of energy. Yeah. And we're watching these trainings all the time. And, you know, the biggest learning I had from all those trainings is we should have just gotten the water faster.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think you're going to learn and learn and learn. You can prepare and prepare and prepare. But the reality is, until you actually hit the water and try it and see what you're not actually so good at, see where your difficulty lies, there's no point trying to prepare in advance because you don't even know what you're preparing.
The ocean's going to take you on its own journey anyway, right? So you've got to get in and do it.
Absolutely. Like, at some point, you actually just need to get wet. So best way to learn to swim, best way to learn to surf, best way to learn to do anything in the water is maybe just get in the water. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it can be a bit like that with this situation as well. You know, do I hire first or do I set everything up in advance? And, you know, so we're going to dig into that today. And I think one of the biggest things is that if we don't know what to do here, that we run into some problems.
Yeah.
You know, this whole conundrum in our head really causes some issues. And I think the first one is, you know, you don't have a system for this person to follow, regardless what the role is. And so you're worried that they won't know what to do. They're going to turn up on day one and just be sat at their desk or sitting in their van. And they're like, well, what now?
Twiddling the thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's one of those things that just goes on in your head. And it's like, I need to have this perfect before they jump into it so they can like jump in day one. They're perfectly effective and everything's just going to go to plan, right? And you just want this to go so perfectly. You end up stuck sitting there at your computer and just thinking like, all right, I need to think about exactly how their day will go, exactly what they'll be thinking about, what problems could come up, exactly how they solve these things. And I think the second thing is you kind of have no idea where to even start. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't really even know what you want them to perfectly do when you start to get into this, right? But you've got that bottleneck chasing you.
Well, we see this all the time, especially, you know, the one that gets me all the time is when someone hires an admin, you know, an office manager or the likes, and they're like, well, I know I've got admin stuff that needs doing, but I don't even know what. Like, I see all these other businesses, they've got a, you know, an office manager, an admin, someone who's in the background getting stuff done. But what are they actually doing? You know, this is a dark art, some kind of mystery.
Oh.
And so, you know, sitting there and you're trying to build a system, but a system for what? Because you don't even know what they do, you know, right?
Exactly. The weirdest thing is when people are so slammed. And if you're listening to this, please listen up. they're so slammed, they're working night times and weekends, and obviously this is a bottleneck, and it's like, my admin's probably a 5-hour job.
Yeah, well, and that's what you think.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Trust me, you're wrong. It's more than that. There's just a lot of stuff you're not doing that you're not even aware you're not doing.
Absolutely. I think the next one is that whole time thing. It's like, I'm trying to make all of these systems, and that's the thought process. I want to get this whole thing done. I want to make sure that when I hire this admin, or I hire this estimator, or I hire an operations manager, they come in and everything is made for them, prepped to start. But I don't have any time to do any of that because I have to actually do all of the stuff that they're going to be doing, so I can't actually make any of this into a system. And so you end up just telling yourself you're going to do it, and telling yourself again that you're going to do it, and then also telling yourself, where's the time to even get this started or completed or anywhere in the middle? It's like you don't have capacity to build the systems.
Yeah, right. Well, the whole reason you need, you know, a new role in your business, especially if it's an office-based role, someone off the tools, you know, estimator, ops manager, you know, middle manager, admin manager, sales, marketing, any of these kind of roles, the whole reason you need this is because you don't have time to keep doing it yourself. And so if you don't have time to do the job, you probably also don't have time to sit down and systemize this whole job before you hire someone, let alone actually then spend the time to hire them correctly and, you know, put some effort into your interviewing and all that. It's like, say, if you're really that short of time, like, when are you actually going to build these systems anyway, even if you did know where to start?
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, you know, the compounding thing with all of these issues you're experiencing is that you just stay stuck, right? Like, that time never comes. You're looking for that magic bullet system, like, hey, can someone just give me this system? I can put it in place and everything will be easy and I can hire someone. That doesn't exist. It needs to be created.
It's like a hamster wheel. Like, you're going round and round it. The thing that you need to be really mindful of, though, is that you're doing this, you're rotating on that hamster wheel, but if you're the bottleneck, you will end up going backwards if you don't solve this problem. So you've got to get on top of it pretty fast.
Yeah, well, the reality is that your business probably does still keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, things still keep developing and growing and, you know, do get more work in. And so things actually can feel like they're going forwards, but as a result, you're actually compounding that bottleneck. Or you know, that role that you needed is actually becoming more and more of a bottleneck, and you have less and less time, which actually makes this whole problem worse and worse until things start to fall through the cracks, and that's where you start to experience going backwards because you just couldn't keep up with the pace. And so, you know, basically that time never comes, there is no magic bullet, and things just get worse. So on the other hand, if we can solve this problem, we can, you know, get our head around it and make the right decision, then some big opportunities. Like, first one is, if we get the right person in the role, they will build the system. So maybe you didn't have a system for them to follow, you know, how to do their job. But if you get someone experienced who knows what they're doing, they've done it before, then likelihood is they can come in and they can build it themselves.
Oh, dude, I've seen this time on top of time on top of time. It's actually a real magical thing to see, especially when you, I guess I'm in that world of seeing the realizations. And the realization a lot of the time, especially that first time you learn this lesson, it's like you're banging your head against the wall. You hire the person, they come in, they build the system, and it's like, it works. There's people out there that can do this. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, even for us, like, I feel like the amount of times we hire people, and, you know, we take our own medicine, right? Like, we do this.
Yeah.
And then we hire someone, and I'll still have some doubt. You know, I'll be like, surely they won't know everything to do. Surely that, you know, they're not going to be able to build their own systems. But they do, and it surprises you every time with a nice, pleasant surprise. Like, hey, I didn't have to set this up. They just did it.
Yeah.
I think the second thing, and this is really important, is there are times when you're hiring for somebody, and it's because you need capacity in a certain area. So maybe you need more capacity in sales, might be pricing, might be people management, might be admin, could be anything. And you're thinking, I need more capacity here, but I don't really actually know what that person will do. I just know that I need more of this function. And so you're sitting there trying to make a system, but you don't really know what they should be doing all day because it's not your wheelhouse. The beauty is, if you get someone who's good at this, hey, they know what to do. They've done this before. And so you bring them in and they know what to do. So even if you didn't know where to start with the system, they do. And that's why they're a better person to build it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Reminds me of this guy Sam. He's one of our clients in the States, and he did this near the end of last year. And he hired this role as an office admin role, and she came in, and he was able to actually take a holiday within the first 2 weeks because she came in, she knew exactly what to do. She actually started building systems on day two.
Wow.
Ridiculous. And he was one of those guys who thought that this was going to be a 10-hour role, turned into a 40-hour role pretty much straight away, and it's just like boomed his profit and his ability to actually look away from the business for a second.
To have some freedom, right?
Yeah, yeah. So good.
Yeah, and I said, Sam's got a few kids too, so
he does.
Like very, very important to be able to get that freedom, you know, like actually be a dad and a husband, you know, live your life, man, which is huge. I think the third one for me is that, you know, at the time when you need this role, you have no time. And so you're stuffed. And then you hire this person, and you know what they do? They create time for you. So just like we're talking about with Sam, you know, in this case, what happened is this person comes in. They know what they should be doing. They know everything you're missing because they've done this before. They create the system, and then things start to become easier straight away. Like, firstly, you are no longer the bottleneck. Someone else is taking this function. Secondly, is that function works better because someone's able to give it their entire, you know, attention and their skill set, which is actually more, you know, in tune with this role. And so everything starts working better and without you. And what that does is actually creates a huge amount of time for you. So you go from having no time to suddenly having a lot of time. And that's just an awesome thing. And so at that point, if you want to, you know, edit the systems they're making, if you want to help them even more, if you want to like put any more tweaks into their development, you actually have time to do it because you're not spending all the time doing what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's huge. And as a result, you actually move forward. You know, you break that bottleneck, right?
You do, absolutely. And look, it's the thing that opens up your capacity. You're at a ceiling before you make this decision. And it's just getting more and more complex underneath. Everything's getting stretched. Look, it's one of those places where when you do this, you actually have mental capacity to be able to think about how things could be done better. Before that, you had nothing because you're just swamped, just like under stacks of paperwork or whatever it is, jobs that you have to run, anything like that. So
stacks of difficult conversations.
yeah.
Stacks of 20s, stacks of pricing, stacks of everything, really.
Oh, dude, absolutely. So you really open up your brain, you open up your ability to do stuff, think, and you'll make way more money and you have way more time after you do this. So,
and you know, at that point, the only stacks are stacks of profit, which is what we're after, right?
Exactly. Cash, baby.
Cash, baby. All right, sweet. So I think like, best place to start with this for me, if you're stuck with, hey, should I be building these systems before I take someone on, or should I just take the person on and then try to get the systems built? I think the reality is that you're stuck there because of fears, you know, things that you're worried might happen. But fear is actually an acronym, right? It stands for something, well, in our mind.
False evidence appearing real, right?
That's right. Evidence appearing real. So the whole thing with a fear is that it's something that hasn't happened yet and that might not actually happen. And so I think the biggest thing with fear is to assess, what fears am I actually feeling and are they valid? Like, how likely are these to happen? So let's go through some of the things people are worried about, you know, when they're facing this decision.
Yeah, dude. Look, the first one is, they won't know what to do. That's what I'm worried about. It's like, I don't know what they'll do, or I don't know how to fill them up with work, or I don't know exactly how they'll do it. And if you're thinking that, it's just like, this is just too hard. And the question that I would ask, like really honestly, is like, is there anyone out there that could know more than you, that will know more than you about the specific job, and that could build the system for you?
Yeah. And again, if we play this out, you know, really, if you're worried about, you don't know what they'll do, really what it is that you're worried that there might not actually be much for them to do.
Yeah.
So if we look at that and play that out, it's like, well, if you've got the right person and someone with a lot of experience who's done this before, they're either going to come in and say, hey, Cam, turns out that, yes, there's this 10 hours of stuff that you thought. There's also another 20 hours of stuff that you had no idea about, which is actually about to cause a huge problem for you, but I'll do it, and you know, now it won't. And then there's another 10 hours or 20 hours worth of stuff we could do that would actually take the business to the next level. Suddenly you've got 40, 50 hours worth of work. Now that's one scenario. And then in that case, you're going to be blown away. Another scenario is they come in and it turns out, hey, you're dead right. There was only 10 hours worth of work to do. In which case I'm like, cool. So restructure the role, man. Just make it a 10-hour role if that happened.
Yeah.
But most likely there's a third option, which is that if that actually happened, it's because you didn't hire very well and you got someone who was a sheep that was looking to be told what to do because they haven't done this before, they have no experience, they're not any good. Which really comes down to the fact that the difference between this working and not working is whether or not you're good at hiring, in which case the real fear I think you're dealing with there is, am I any good at hiring?
Yep.
Is there anything for them to do?
Yeah.
So I think a second fear for us to look at would be, you know, what if not having a system means this person sucks? So even if there's a lot more that they could be doing that I was unaware of, or even if I knew everything this role would do, what if I don't build a system, I bring somebody into a role, and then they just don't know what to do because there's nothing for them to follow, which I think is, you know, is another fear that people experience.
Yeah, but we're kind of going back to the same thing again where you've hired the wrong person, because if you've hired somebody, like if we just take an example of you're hiring an operations manager, you want to take the responsibility off you of managing the team and the jobs and the suppliers and put it onto this person. If you hire somebody that's done this before in another business and they've done a good job of that and they are competent, like they're going to come in and they're going to have conversations with the guys that develop them. They're going to go and talk to the suppliers and manage the relationship better so they can get better pricing and make sure you've got materials all of the time. They're going to be making sure that they go and check the quality of the jobs and giving feedback to the guys. It's like, man, they're going to fill their boots straight away to make them more efficient and manage them, actually manage them.
Because reality is they do know what to do. They've done it before. Yeah. And so the big thing here is that if you're hiring somebody who actually genuinely needed a spoon-fed system, it's because they're not very good, which really comes back to the point. It's like, hey, look, and don't get me wrong, eventually you might create a system here. Ideally, they would create the system and you would edit the system so that then not that they just don't know what to do because they know what to do, but do they know how to do it your way? That's where your input comes in. Mm-hmm. Thing is that they should know what to do. It's just they might not know your way and that's where you'll help. If they have no idea what to do, it's because you hired badly. So again, the real fear is I'm crap at hiring. That's the actual only thing you could say here.
It really is.
And then the last big one would be, hey, look, what if they cost me a bunch of money, right? Like, I'm paying these wages and this person's ineffective. But to be fair, we've just covered that, right? Like, the only way they'd be ineffective is, again, if you made a bad hire. Or last one is that, hey, look, I've got no time. So I'd love to be able to spend time with this person and help them get up to speed. And maybe they can create some systems, but can they do it my way? And I'm going to need to put input in here, but I have no time.
The thing is before you hire this person, there's a good likelihood that this responsibility sat on your shoulders. So you were sinking time into doing the actual task. Sure, you might not release all of that time back to yourself in day one or day two. But the fact is, if you're spending 10 hours a week on the admin and then hire an admin, or you're spending 15 hours a week managing the jobs and the guys being the ops manager, and now you've got an ops manager, that time sure isn't transferring straight away, but you do have time to spend with them because you had time to do the jobs, or you had to.
Right.
So that time's going to come back and pretty fast, but you will have time to do it because you have time to, or you're making the time to actually do the task at the moment.
What it comes back to again is that the whole thing with hiring this person is that they actually do create time.
They do.
And I think what this builds me onto is probably actually the tools that you can use, because let's take pricing. Yep. Say you're hiring an estimator, you bring this person in and you've been pricing 20 hours a week, right? And so you're worried that this person won't know what to do and that they also are not going to free, you don't have any time. Well, reality is if you're spending 20 hours a week pricing at the moment, why don't you just spend 20 hours a week with them pricing work?
Yeah.
Then, well, that's now onboarding and training.
Yeah.
If you're letting them have the first crack at it, you can see how good they are at pricing, whether or not they actually do know what they're doing, which they should if you've hired correctly, all right? And so the only thing you're doing is you're making sure they price your way.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's like if you're watching them price, you're sitting with them 20 hours a week while they price work, and you're giving them guidance, like, hey, I wouldn't have done that, I would have done this instead. Hey, that's not enough margin. Our baseline for this work type is 40%, not 35%. Or you're showing them through the back costing and saying the reason why we put this margin on this type of work is because, as you can see historically in our back costing, this is how we trend and this is our most profitable point. The thing is, you can give them this guidance, and whenever you're giving this guidance, you can start to use tools like Loom, screen recording software where it's recording your voice as well. You can give instruction and show them what you did while it records what you're doing, records your voice giving instruction. Now they have that saved as a video that they can refer to again and again. This, by the way, this is creating the system.
Yep.
Or if they're getting it right, they can Loom themselves and create the system of what they're doing. But the thing is, if you do that for 20 hours a week, which you would have done anyway, because you were going to price that work for 20 hours a week.
Oh yeah.
Then in a couple of weeks, you've spent 20, 40, 60 hours, with this person creating systems. After that, you should be able to leave them, right? Because they've got 60 hours worth of systems to follow. So the point is, this actually creates a system very quickly, but it's about using the right tools. So if you're doing something computer-based, you can use screen recording software. We use Loom. It's a good one. If it's something that's more physical-based, just video yourself doing something. Right down to small things. You're telling your office admin where to put the bins out. I'm like, cool, rather than just telling them, why don't you get them to hold your phone and film you while you say, hey guys, this is a video about where to put the bins out, and they can film you taking the bins out. And you say, you put them right here out on the street in this spot, that's where they get taken.
Yeah, and it sounds silly when you talk about it as like putting the bins out, but that works for literally anything. And yeah, there's heaps of tools that you can use, so don't like let that stop you. You can use the video is the easiest way because it's the lowest friction, and then it's on somebody else to just go watch it, right?
And it's easy for people to consume.
Yeah, it's super easy.
And I think the point is at that point, any work that you're doing that you would have done anyway when you didn't have the person, they can document you doing this work, and that actually becomes the system that they can follow themselves. And so very quickly, this whole system problem sorts itself out. Not to mention, if you're shadowing them doing it, you'll actually notice very quickly that most of the stuff you would have systemized, they can already do.
Yeah.
So they can just, you can film them. That's cool. They can be in the system. which leads me to my next thing, which is like involvement breeds commitment, right? So if they're part of the creation of this system or any of the systems they're going to follow, they're actually far more likely to adopt that system because they were part of building it, right?
Yeah, look, it's natural human behavior. If you enroll someone in a problem and solutioning, like to solve anything that's going on, like they want it to be great. And so they'll put the effort in and then they'll follow it. And then they'll actually, the magic behind this is that they'll keep evolving the system too. They'll make it better, cleaner, easier for somebody else to use or themselves in the future too. So you want to kind of want to do this with everything as much as you can. But getting your people excited about the work that they're doing is a big part of running a business. So involve them as much as you can. So definitely do that.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason they're going to keep building on that as well is because they built it in the first place. They own it. It's their baby. So they want it to be great. Mm. Whereas if you just hand-feeded them a system right at the start, the hard part is that it's not their system. So firstly, are they more likely to follow it? Probably not. And secondly, are they going to build on it, improve it, make it better? No, because it's not theirs. They don't really care about it the same as they would if they built it.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're going to put a lot more into that if they were part of it from the start.
Yeah, and we need to go back to what you mentioned this before, but like they need to author it and then you edit. This doesn't mean that you don't have any part of this at all. It just means that you can do the checking. You can do the little bits of guidance and the steering. That way you're happy with it. They've owned it. They're more engaged in using it, and that way you've got a lot of time back, right? Because you've just a small piece in creating that thing.
Yeah, that's massive. If you miss that, make sure you write it down, all right? Edit, don't author, all right? Edit, don't author. This person creates a system, you edit what they created. If you're making it from the start, they will not own it. If they make it from the start, you can tweak it, but it's still theirs. They still own it, and they'll still take full responsibility of, you know, upkeep and making sure it's perfect. So that's actually going to work a lot better. And I think this brings me back to, you know, what are you actually trying to build? And I think if we really think about a business, you know, a definition of a business is, you know, a commercial enterprise that, you know, works independent of the owner. So in this case, if you commercial profitable enterprise. Let's just forgot a word there, but very important.
Yeah,
look, if you're not profitable, it's not really a business. But anyway, the point is like you want a commercial profitable enterprise that works independent of the owner. So at some point for you to build a true business, it needs to be profitable and it needs to work without you, which means that at some point you do need to bring these people in and they need to be able to do the job. And so I think with that, sure, you could build all the systems first and then that might be a possibility, but you just won't because you don't have time. You bring the right people in and then they will actually build these systems and create that, you know, wheelhouse that's going to work without you. And then you can just, you know, edit it and make it sure it fits with your values and the way that you want to operate.
I think it means you have to give up control, and that might be a bit of a reality check. We've sent this a few times on this podcast for sure. But that, like, once you relinquish a little bit of control, you actually learn that other people can do it, and you'll build more confidence then into the fact that other people are actually going to like build the systems and run the systems, and you just got to get the right people to come in and do that.
Yeah, which I suppose brings us back to the only actual problem that that is going on here. And I think if we really dig into some of those fears, you know, the real fear you're experiencing, if you're experiencing any, actually boils back to like, what if I suck at hiring?
Yeah.
What if I can't find the right person? What if, you know, this is my problem? And the reality is maybe it is. Like, and so I suppose the key is here, rather than focusing on all these systems you got to build for all these roles you got to hire, what you got to be doing is focusing on, am I any good at hiring? Do I have good hiring systems? You know, am I writing good job ads? Am I good at interviewing? Am I good at job testing and creating job tests to actually see whether or not people are going to be up to scratch?
Yeah.
Am I reference checking? Am I onboarding well? You know, like these are really where I would focus your time, because if you get really good at this, you bring the right people in. Yeah. You find the right people, you make sure they're good, you bring them in, and then if you bring the right people in, they'll build their own systems anyway. And so really, if you nail this one system, being your hiring process, how to attract and you know, onboard good talent, all the other systems kind of take care of themselves because you're hiring the right people.
Yeah, massively. I think the only one that you missed out of that is just being clear on who you want. So like getting a really good job description or scorecard, like thought process, really. Document that, but you know, think about who you want. And if you get that right and you follow everything else that you just said and you have a good hiring system, you'll nail this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if we can clarify, you know, who it is that we want. So not just what they'll do. So obviously you want, you know, list of tasks. What are they going to do? But who do we want? Like, what are they going to be like?
Yeah.
Who is this person? What do they look like? What do they sound like? How do they act? You know, that's also part of it. If we're really clear on what we want, then we can start to design our interview questions around making sure that this person is actually fitting these characteristics. We ask those interview questions, you know, we start to filter down. And then at that point, what we can do is we job test. So again, we've done plenty of other episodes about hiring, we'll get right into it, but we job test, which is super important because when we're asking someone, hey, do you have these skills? It's very easy for them to say, yeah, for sure. It's like, hey, Phil, can you dunk in basketball? I'm like, yeah, man, for sure.
100%. Yeah. Show me.
Show me. Oh, no, I've got this problem with my ankle. It's exactly the same, right? Like people can say, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I've got heaps of experience. Tell me about a time when, and they'll make up some story. And then you're like, all right, cool, let's do it. And suddenly they can't. So obviously we job test, make sure they actually have the skills we're looking for. At that point, we know they're a fit. We know that they're exactly the type of person we're looking for. We know they can do the job. And then we just reference check. You know, hey, look, is there anything we've missed? We speak to past employers.
Yeah.
Make sure that there's nothing going on below the surface that we need to know about. And hey, at that point, you know, we bring this person on, you know, likelihood is that we've made the right decision and they're actually going to be able to build their own systems and everything's just going to move forward. Whereas if we hadn't done that, you're still sitting there trying to build a system that you don't understand for a job that you don't fully understand with the time that you don't have. And I mean, like, honestly, it's just never going to happen. You never take the person on, you stay stuck. Business keeps moving forward, bottleneck gets worse, and everything compounds, really.
Yeah, I just had another thought. It's like, if you do focus on the system first and not the hire, I reckon there's a pretty good likelihood, and I can think of a couple of examples where you end up hiring duds because all of your energy has gone into the system. And no matter what, if you hire a dud and they can come in and click the buttons that it says to click, they're not going to take you anywhere. And it will turn into somebody that you've just got to move on and find somebody else for in the future. So like, put your energy into the hire.
Man, that is such a good point, because actually if you create a bunch of systems around a role that you didn't understand, you might actually get someone who's better at this role than you, who understood it better than you. But if they come in and follow all your systems that you created, then you're getting someone who knows better to do your stuff, which was worse. And so even if they nail it, like, it's still not actually making anything better. Whereas if you'd actually just let them have a go at it,
good
chances they produce something better than you did anyway, and they actually improve the function of the business that they're stepping into. So all right, cool. Well, I think we've had some good stuff in here, so let's land this plane. I think for me, we see our members often get stuck, and the reason they're stuck is because they have a bottleneck in their business and they need more capacity. They know they need to hire someone, usually off the tools, but they get stuck around, should I build the system first? And obviously today what we've done is we've unpacked this, and fundamentally you hire first. You get the right person in the right role and they will build the systems. Caveat to that, make sure you get really good at hiring. So if you're going to practice a system, practice your hiring system first, get the right people on board. The rest of it takes care of itself. So thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See everyone.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
You're banging your head against a wall with your team, telling them again and again to do things differently. You've told them once, you've told them 1,000 times, but nothing seems to change. And you're beginning to sound and feel like a broken record. Tune into this episode where we unpack how to get your team to change their behavior without the frustration of endless repetition.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.